workers demanding the resignation of palace spokesperson Harry Roque over his rant aimed at government critics. Political analysts doubt Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Capio's decision not to run for president is final. We'll speak to the Secretary General of Duterte Capio's regional party, the Hukbong ng Pagbabago, later on in the program. Some lawmakers slamming the appointment of controversial military official Antonio Parlade Jr. to the National Security Council. Bayan Muna Representative Ferdinand Gaite will join us for a discussion on that. And Filipino-Canadian Leila Fernandez on the cusp of greatness as she reaches the finals of the U.S. Open. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with a viral video of palace spokesperson Harry Roque blowing his top over what he says are unfair criticisms against government's pandemic response. In that video, Roque aimed his rant at a group which he says has had nothing good to say about the Duterte administration's handling of the health crisis. Take a look.
Government approach, thinking about economic ramifications, thinking about people who will go hungry, does not mean we care any less. And let me point out to everyone, this group, they have never said anything good about government response.
We should point out that that video was from Marlon Ramos of the Philippine Daily Inquirer. Sources of the Inquirer said Roque angrily reacted to comments made by Dr. Maricar Limpin, president of the Philippine College of Physicians, during a recent meeting of the government task force against COVID-19. Health workers want palace spokesperson Harry Roque to resign over his viral rant. The Alliance of Health Workers says it seems Roque, a former human rights lawyer who no longer cares about the concerns of the people.
Pag ganyan ang ating spokesperson, it reflects doon sa presidente natin, na ganun din ang presidente natin. Ang daming mga kasinungalingan na sinasabi, kaya dapat panindigan niya yan. At kasi alam natin na sa Secretary Roques, nasa siya yung ating numunguna dati para doon sa violation against human rights. Pero parang nabaliktad na eh, parang hindi na nilalaban yung karapatan ng mga Pilipino. Kaya isa rin ang ano namin, siguro panahon na rin, magsabay-sabay na po mag-resign yung mga cabinet member na hindi po talaga kaaya-aya sa mga mamayang Pilipino.
For Dr. Lenny Jara of the group Shape Up, Roque needs to apologize to medical frontliners.
Pwede ba? Tumigil ka. Ang obra ka na. Binastos mo na ang mga nagtatrabaho at ang mga nagliligtas ng mga pasyente. Binastos mo. You should apologize to them. We owe them an apology.
The Philippines hits another fresh COVID-19 record, posting an all-time high of 22,820 additional cases Thursday. This shatters Monday's record of 22,425. The 29.4% positivity rate is also the highest ever. The U.S. set to provide the Philippines with an additional $11.3 million in COVID-19 aid. The announcement was made at the White House Thursday. This brings the total amount of America's pandemic assistance to the Philippines to $37 million. That's on top of the 6 million vaccine doses it donated through the WHO's COVAX facility. The additional aid comes after top officials from both countries met in Washington to mark the 70th anniversary of Manila's mutual defense treaty with the U.S. U.S. President Joe Biden unveils a sweeping new vaccine mandate covering about 100 million Americans. Biden directed all private businesses with 100 or more workers to mandate COVID-19 vaccinations or to require regular testing on employees. Nearly 17 million healthcare workers at facilities receiving federal benefits will also face the same requirements.
despite America having unprecedented and successful vaccination program, despite the fact that for almost 5 months, free vaccines have been available in 80,000 different locations, we still have nearly 80 million Americans who have failed to get the shot. And to make matters worse, there are elected officials actively working to undermine the fight against COVID-19. My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show over 53% of Americans are fully vaccinated. COVID-19 has killed more than 654,000 people in the U.S. Deaths and hospitalizations have been rising sharply due to the fast-spreading Delta variant. Chinese firm Sinovac Biotech is conducting a trial for its COVID-19 vaccine on children and adolescents across several countries. The global study will evaluate the efficacy and safety of the CoronaVac vaccine on children ages 6 months to 17 years. The trials include 14,000 participants from the Philippines, Chile, Malaysia, Kenya, and South Africa. The Philippine Food and Drug Administration previously rejected Sinovac's application to use its vaccine on children due to a lack of existing clinical trial data. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, we'll talk to a top official of Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio's regional party on her decision not to run for president next year. Stay with us. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We are back here, still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Health workers demanding the resignation of Palace spokesperson Harry Roque over his rant aimed at a group critical of government's pandemic response. Political analysts doubt Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio's decision not to run for president is final. Some lawmakers slammed the appointment of controversial military official Antonio Parlade Jr. to the National Security Council. And Filipino-Canadian Leila Fernandez on the cusp of greatness as she reaches the finals of the U.S. Open. Back with more news, Ombudsman Samuel Martires wants people who make public comments about the statements of assets, liabilities, and net worth of government officials jailed. Martires says Republic Act 6713 allows for the publication of sal ants, but he says it doesn't allow anyone to talk publicly about them. Martires proposing a 5-year jail sentence for those who violate this.
Provide safety nets so that a SALN can be published, but no person should be allowed to comment on the SALN of a particular government official or employee. I am a victim of that. I wanted to prove to my staff what the media can do to destroy a government official. I give my SALN. What happened? The following day, it was a banner story in one of the leading newspapers. Ombudsman richer by 15 million in 3 months. So parang kumikita ko 5 million isang buwan.
Bayan Muna Chairman Neri Colmenares slams Martires' proposal. Colmenares says it curtails the freedom of speech. The ombudsman's comments come days after he denied a lawyer's request to get a copy of President Rodrigo Duterte's sal-en. Duterte last made them public in 2017.
The main purpose of the SALN for me is that it is a tool against corruption. It's a deterrence to corruption. Maybe we can ask the ombudsman to, for now at least, it's not going to be the main solution, to certify that President Duterte submitted the SALN. Secondly, certify that he has seen the SALN and that he find nothing improper, irregular in the SALN. So at least there's an accountability aspect here if the ombudsman will certify that.
Progressive lawmakers up in arms over the appointment of a controversial military official to a high-level intelligence post. Retired military general Antonio Parlade Jr., whom government critics have branded as the king of red tagging, is now deputy director general of the National Security Council. Let's get the reaction now of Bayamuna Party List Representative Ferdinand Gaite on this. Congressman, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Carmina. Good afternoon to all our viewers.
All right. Let me begin by asking you, what do you make of this appointment?
Well, we just confirmed that President Rodrigo Roa Duterte is an environmentalist because he recycles and reuses yung nabubulok na, binabalik at ginagamit ko din. As you remember, he was the spokesperson of the NTFL-CAP for the National Task Force for Ending Local Communist Armed Conflict. And because of the exposés involving his actions, no less than the Senate, no? Binatikos yung kanyang role na active member siya ng AFP, and yet he is holding a civilian position. He was forced to resign in the NTFL-CAP only to be recycled now as the Deputy Director General of the National Security Council. So we abhor this appointment by President Duterte.
Here's the thing, though, Congressman Gaite. As the palace confirmed Parlade's appointment as Deputy Director General of the National Security Council, presidential spokesperson said, Harry Roque said this about him. He said that Parlade would immensely contribute in the crafting of plans and policies affecting national security. So I guess the question now is, what can he do now as Deputy Director General of the National Security Council that he wasn't able to do when he was part of the NTFL-CAP, Congressman?
Yes, we will see worse violations for human rights. No? And that was the trail that he left behind when he was also in Southern Tagalog. At when he headed a spokesperson, he enabled the violations of human rights by simply, without even an iota of evidence, red tag all critics of government, including this representation. You know, every critic was immediately red tag. Kulang na lang yung kanilang aliado na si Senator Ping Lacson, you know, when they criticized the NTFL-CAP funding. Eh, ganun na rin. Sinabi, na-influensyahan daw sila ng mga rebelde at mga komunista. Even the union in the Senate was accused of having a hand in the how senators were deciding. And that is an injustice. Our senators are mature enough to understand the issues. Kaya we see more violations of human rights with the appointment of Parlade to the Security Council.
That he is seen now as someone who could greatly, immensely contribute to the plans and policies affecting national security. Do you see this as an opportunity for the general to sort of institutionalize his brand of red tagging, Congressman?
Yes, he's put in a very powerful position. Alam niyo naman yung NSC, how President Duterte has practically established a military junta. Meron tayong seemingly military junta because lahat na ng position sa gobyerno ngayon, even in the pandemic response, remember the IATF, ay punong-puno ng mga military or former military generals and PNP personnel. So makikita natin, ano, with this mindset, no, yung red tagging mindset, yung kung some of the older people will remember the McCarthyist red tagging, frothing in the mouth, anti-communist propaganda being issued. We will see more of that with Parlade now in the Security Council. And I do not think he will still be able to address the main problems of our country. No? Pinipilit nila, it, the communist or insurgency is the problem. It is a manifestation of the larger ills of our society. Matinding kahirapan, itong maling tugon sa pandemya, yung lumalalang pang-ekonomiya ang kalagayan ng mga Pilipino, tumataas ang inflasyon, kawalan ng trabaho, and the fascist implementation of not the rule of law, but yung kamay na bakal na pinatutupad ngayon ni Pangulong Duterte. Kaya we do not see any improvement in our concerns regarding security, our international concerns, and especially on the violations of human rights.
Can you give us a clearer picture of what people should expect once he gets his seat warm there at the NSC?
Definitely, siya na yung magiging front person, no? Doon sa advocates of itong yung tinawag nila yung counterinsurgency program, which was adopted, no, from the US counterinsurgency program. So we will see more vilification campaigns, not only yung identified sa left, hindi na lang kami, no, anyone who crosses the path of President Duterte. Remember, it's an election year, and meron ng mga tumawid o lumipat ng kampo and will be challenging whoever Duterte or yung tandem who will ever be the tandem with Duterte. And we will see that all these, magkakaroon ng sinatawag na bashing, no, of all these critics using the position in the Security Council to vilify, to red tag, to destroy probably the yung mga personalities who will be going up against the president in the coming elections.
You mentioned insurgency, Congressman Guy. That one has to ask you though, what has this insurgency really brought the country?
Well, the insurgency is a reflection of the social ills of our society, no? It manifests yung problem ng matinding kahirapan, kawalan ng katarungan, no? It is not the problem per se, but it is the outcome of a deeper problem regarding the distribution of wealth, the problem of poverty, the problem of injustice, no? So hanggat hindi yun nare-resolve, hanggat hindi na-address yung tatawag na root causes of the problem, the insurgency will persist.
All right. Just as a final question, Congressman Gaite, it looks like it's a done deal, right? That he's going to be there. The palace seems to be very happy with his appointment. But what can be done at this point?
Well, right now he's facing several charges. First, in the ombudsman. And even I believe there's a pending resolution. Although, sabi ni Senator Ping Lacson, his removal from the NTFL-CAC was already partly the solution. But the fact that he was occupying a civilian position when he was still an active member of the AFP violated even the constitution and other pertinent laws. No? Other than that, yung kanyang ginagawang vilification campaign, there is also a provision in our constitution na bawal sa mga officials ng government, including officials in the military, to yung electioneering or yung political partisan activity. And he has been doing that, especially against Makabayan Black. He was saying that the people should not vote for Makabayan Black, and that is clearly a violation. Some organizations, even human rights groups, have filed petitions, complaints with the Office of the Ombudsman for him to face these charges.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it at that, Congressman Ferdinand Gaite, Representative of Bayan Muna. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming to the show. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina. Stay safe.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Going back to our top story now on presidential spokesperson Harry Roque's viral rant during an IATF meeting. Joining us now for her reaction is Dr. Maricar Limpin of the Philippine College of Physicians, who was said to be the one on the receiving end of that rant. Dr. Limpin, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to all our televiewers.
All right, so tell us, what happened there?
That was Tuesday evening, I think, when we were allowed to, or when we were given permission to talk to the interagents, to the IATF. Mm-hmm. And kasama ko with me is Dr. Tony Dance. And we really decided to talk to the IATF to present, no, the true state of the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. That we wanted to convey the message to the IATF that the healthcare system is already overwhelmed at this point in time of the pandemic, and that when we heard that the NCR is going to be placed on GCQ, so many of our fellow healthcare workers were actually asking us if we're not going to do anything, because a lot of us were already afraid that we might not be able to really take care of our countrymen, and that the healthcare system will eventually collapse. So yun lang ang aming ano, no? That is our main intention, to help government make the right decision.
So after you had made that presentation before the IATF, what happened next?
And then particular reaction of Secretary Roque. So we were quite surprised of the reaction, because we were not expecting that from any government official, for that matter.
So, and how were you able to react? Were you able to react at all?
Hindi po, kasi I wanted to respond to that reaction of Secretary Roque, but the members of the IATF decided to have a recess, no, and then we were asked to leave already.
So you never got the chance to face them again?
No, we never got the chance.
And so when because right now we're seeing snippets of the rant. Can you tell us if that was all that really happened, or was it a longer rant? What else did he tell you? If we're only seeing snippets of what actually happened, Dr. Limpin.
Yeah. I cannot remember the whole thing. No, kasi talaga I was surprised at that particular time. So parang I just can remember what I can remember is that we are being called arrogant, and na parang sinasabi namin kami lang may alam, and kami lang yung ang talagang nagmamalasakit. But we did not say it. I cannot think of any statement na sinabi namin yung ganon, na kami lang ang nakakaalam at kami lang ang nagmamalasakit. Because I think everybody all of us, even you, no, even the media are concerned about this. So parang it is, we cannot actually lay claim to any of the things that he said. So parang really the, whatever he said, it was uncalled for.
There was a point in one of the snippets that I saw wherein there was a government official who tried to calm him down.
Yes.
Just from the voice, can you confirm if that was Secretary Bebot Bello was trying to calm him down, or you don't remember at all?
Yeah, hindi ko na maalala kasi I just remembered there's somebody saying, kalma lang pare, parang ganon, ano? Mm-hmm. So somebody trying to calm him down, and I think everybody, maybe you know, the members of the IATF also were quite surprised, no, by that reaction.
Okay, let's go to what he said, what spokesperson Roque said. Several things. He said that you should be at least, or you should at least recognize government's efforts. Are you not cognizant at all of this, or are you?
We know, we recognize the efforts of the government. So that is why we're trying to reach out to the government para matulungan namin sila, no? So that we, they will be able to know, coming from us, the soldiers in this war, no? Para makapag-decide sila, make the right strategies, no? So parang that is our only intention, no? To give them the facts so that they will know. Once they have the facts, then they will be able to make the right decisions. Yun lang naman ang ano namin eh, ang objective namin. Because really, at the end of everything, no, the intention really is to prevent the healthcare from collapsing. Yun lang.
And when you talk about the healthcare system collapsing, manpower has a lot to do with it. Because Olympian, when you talk about hospital bed occupancy, you're basically just talking about infrastructure there. You're not talking about manpower. Tell us about one fact about manpower at this point in the battle against the pandemic.
Well, the truth really is may mga healthcare workers who are resigning. Okay, so we are already depleted the way it is because some of the healthcare workers are also being infected, no? Therefore, they have to be placed on quarantine. And therefore, that means that lesser number of people who will work in the within the healthcare system infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, those who are exposed, no, to these healthcare workers who become positive also means that they have to be placed on isolation. So this further depletes the healthcare workforce, and that may mga nagre-resign pa. So if you look at it, talagang nadideplete na kami, notwithstanding also the fact that nagkukulang din kami sa mga facilities na kakailanganin ng mga pasyente, no? Including medicines that we can probably give to our patients. So nagkukulang-kulang din yan, no? So in fact, all of these, no, some of the medicines nag-skyrocket ang ang cost, no? So it's not helping us kasi kami pa ang nag-ano eh, you know, even us na malaki ang binabayad ng mga pasyente, pati yun iniisip din namin. So it's actually becoming a burden also for us, and parang sa amin mahirap talaga yung mga yung nangyayari sa amin and yung nakikita namin para sa mga pasyente.
Let me just go back to that Tuesday meeting, Dr. Lim Pin. Was it your, you said that it was your first time to present before the IATF, correct?
Yes, it was the first time that I presented to the IATF, but it wasn't the first time that I was able to attend the IATF meeting.
Okay, so prior to the presentation, how was it being built up? Did you get a sense that, you know, there was hostility within the virtual room? What was the overall feeling then?
No, actually po we were in a meeting parang we were in a meeting room. We were not allowed inside the meeting room where they were convening the meeting. Uh-huh. So
parang pinatawag lang kayo when it was your time.
Yes, right. We were allowed entry into the meeting when they allowed us to speak up. So parang we were not privy to any of the discussions before and after.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And were you able to finish your presentation?
Yes, they allowed us to speak, including my colleague Dr. Tony Dance, no? So parehas kami nagsalita. So actually it's not just me.
Dr. Limpin, I'm sorry to cut you there, but please stay with us. At this point we're being told that presidential spokesperson Harry Roque will be addressing now the viral video. Let's listen.
Okay. Sige.
At napaiyak. Doon po ako naging emotional kasi para namang importante rin po na marinig yung damdamin ng mga maliliit na tao nating mga kababayan na nagugutom na po dahil sa parating pag-lockdown. Hindi po tamad ang mga Pilipino, ha? Hindi po sila umaasa sa ayuda. Handa po silang magtrabaho. Bigyan lang natin sila ng pagkakataon magtrabaho. Alam po natin na marami talagang mamamatay at namamatay po sa COVID. Pero nandyan po ang realidad na sa Metro Manila, halos kalahati na rin po ang ating nabakunahan. Bakit po tayo mag-hard lockdown na naman? E samantalang, kaya nga po natin pinabilis ang proseso ng pagbakuna para makapagbukas tayo ng ekonomiya, magkaroon po ng mas maraming trabaho ang ating mga kababayan. Lininaw ko lang po na kapag ikaw ay hindi sang-ayon sa hard lockdown na magiging dahilan para magutom ang ating mga kababayan, hindi po ibig sabihin yon na hindi ka na concern sa mga nagkakasakit. Lahat po tayo, nagkaroon po na po tayo ng kamag-anak, ng kaibigan, na namatay at nagkasakit sa COVID. Lahat po tayo napaiyak na rin po sa trahedya na sumalanta hindi lang po sa Pilipinas, kundi sa buong mundo. Ang pakiusap ko lang po, huwag po nating isipin na ang mga desisyon ay para mga clinical decision lamang. Ito po yung nakaka-apekto sa buhay, lalong-lalo na ng mga nagugutom at naghihirap na mga Pilipino. Subukin po nating balansehin yung pagbawas sa numero ng COVID-19 at yung pagbibigay ng pagkakataon naman na maghanap buhay ang taong bayan. Nagalit po talaga ako dahil sa tingin ko, panahon na po na marinig ang inyong boses ng IATF. Tama na po ang lockdown. Magtatagal po talaga ang COVID. Hindi lang po sa Pilipinas, kundi sa buong daigdig. Hindi po ibig sabihin na habang nandyan si COVID, hahayaan na natin magutom ang ating mga kababayan. Kailangan po mag-ingat. Mask, hugas, bakuna, at iwas. At patuloy po tayo nagpapabakuna para nga po, miski tayo magkasakit, ay hindi po ito magiging malala. Pero isipin naman po natin yung kapakanan na wala nang makain dahil nga po sa mga lockdown. Kung meron po akong na-offend sa aking pananalita, well, humihingi po ako ng abiso. Pero kinakailangan na pong pakinggan natin ang boses ng mga hindi naririnig sa IATF, ang hanay na naghihirap at nagugutom. Maraming salamat po. Tumuloy na po tayo sa presentasyon po ni Yusek Densing. Siya po magbibigay ng detalye nitong policy shift.
So you just heard from presidential spokesperson Harry Roque there addressing the outburst that happened Tuesday night in an IATF meeting after Dr. Maricar Limpin, president of the Philippine College of Physicians, presented or made a presentation as to why another lockdown is needed because of the state, the current state of healthcare workers. We still have Dr. Maricar Limpin with us. First of all, I want to get your reaction there. Not all decisions are clinical decisions. Clearly, the presidential spokesperson there also asking for forgiveness if you had offended anyone. Your reaction to that first.
I think the reaction is really uncalled for. If ever tingin niya mali kami, or if ever tingin niya we are not considering the economic, but you know, we're considering also the economic impact. It's just that pag nag-collapse ang healthcare system natin, and then so many more people will die from this pandemic, then I think wala rin yung economy yung helping the economy na binabanggit ni Secretary Roque. So I think the best, this is a reaction that should not have been done, no, by a government official, by a public official. So if ever there are criticisms, no, I think it should be taken constructively instead of negatively.
Ano ho ba talaga yung sinabi ninyo? Humihingi lang kayo ng lockdown, humihingi kayo ng lockdown, or pinapakita nyo lang yung totoong estado ng healthcare system?
Well, actually, nag-apila po talaga kami sa gobyerno, kasi sinabi ko na narinig namin na mag-GCQ, and therefore the impact of that GCQ in the cases of COVID-19 dito sa ating bansa. And I stated actually the facts about the healthcare system, and that ang fear namin na mas tumaas pa ang number ng mga kaso ng COVID-19, and this will actually imperil the healthcare system, no? So mag-request kami kung pwede sana na to place, instead of a GCQ, to place the NCR on ECQ. That is our recommendation. So it's just an appeal, no? We are not saying na kami yung dapat nasundin, no? But we are appealing, kasi we wanted to relay that information as soldiers in this war. No, so it's like sending the information to the general who is making the strategies, no? Kasi kung hindi nila alam kung ano nangyayari on the ground, paano naman makaka-come up sila with the appropriate strategies? So I think
linawin ko lang po, Dr. Limpin, pagkatapos niyo pong gawin yung presentation niyo, yun na po ang bumungad sa inyo.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yes.
Ang sinabi po niya dun sa kanyang pahayag, no, just a couple of minutes ago, presidential spokesperson Harry Roque said that it was about time that the people also hear from the IATF themselves. And basically, that was it. Na ayaw na rin po nila ng lockdown. Parang lumabas lang daw po yung totoong saloobin ng IATF regarding what is happening right now. What do you make of that? And what's your reaction to that?
Siguro kung if he wants to relate, to convey yung saloobin ng IATF, then he could have done it in a better way, not in an outburst like that. No, kasi if you do that, then you will not be understood, no, by people who will hear you. So I don't think na tama pa rin yung pamamaraan na ginamit para i-convey ang message.
Another message that he conveyed a couple of minutes back is that he is tatagalugin ko because ito ang totoong sinabi niya, humihingi siya ng abiso. Kayo ba'y tinatanggap niyo ba itong statement ni Secretary Roque?
I think ang abiso means apology, no? Hmm. Tama ba ako doon?
He's asking for forgiveness. Are you giving it to him? Are you accepting his apology?
It is not up to me to forgive. I think ang outburst niya is, for me, no, it is not really directed against me. It is directed against the whole of the healthcare workforce. And kasi when we went there, we were representing the healthcare workforce.
And having said that, do you think that he still should step down as a spokesperson, as some quarters have been calling for after seeing that outburst?
Personally, parang kung ganyan ang magiging spokesperson ni Presidente, siguro dapat palitan na lang siya ng presidente.
Dr. Maricar Limpin, President of the Philippine College of Physicians, we appreciate you coming to the show. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you for all that you do. Take care and keep safe.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, from there, we're going to move on with the rest of the news. Lots of things happening today, actually. Some allies of Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio remain hopeful she will change her mind about no longer running for the presidency next year. Duterte Carpio made that decision after her father, President Rodrigo Duterte, accepted the PDP Laban's party's nomination to run for vice president. Political analysts, however, doubt whether her decision is already final.
These maneuverings, all that you are witnessing today, are actually more of tactics level only.
So nakita naman natin nung 2016 elections, hindi ba? Parang last minute na kumandidato si Pangulong Duterte. And yung electoral system natin allows candidates with much leeway to change their minds. So merong substitution. And so these are things that will that add to the uncertainties.
Well, let's get the thoughts of former Davao del Norte Governor Anthony Del Rosario on this issue. He is, of course, the Secretary General of Mayor Duterte Carpio's regional party, that is the Hugpong ng Pagbabago. Governor, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Okay.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So people have been calling this the mayor dropping out of the presidential race. First, clarify that with us this afternoon. Was there really a plan to run for the presidency?
Well, it's very clear from her statement that because her father, President Duterte, has already accepted the nomination of his party, PDP, the result of which means that Sara will no longer run. If you can recall, Carmina, the mayor has been very consistent since probably 1 or 2 months ago when she first said that she is not favorable to a Duterte tandem. No? Mm-hmm. So she's just being consistent, especially since the president's already accepted the nomination.
But neither has she been very concrete about her plans. She hasn't been really clear about whether or not she's going to run for president. A lot of people have been urging her to run for president, but she hasn't been clear about planning for that. So now that people are talking that she's dropping out of the presidential race, that's basically just assuming that she actually had plans to run. So because you're the Secretary General of her regional party, can you confirm to us that there was actually a plan for her to run for president?
If you can recall also, Carmina, no? This was, I think, around June, if I'm not mistaken, no? When Mayor Sara went to visit Governor Gwen Garcia of Cebu province, mm-hmm. And when she was interviewed there, she specifically said that she is open to the possibility of running. No, so what that means, ma'am, is that Mayor Sara has really been thinking about the possibility of running, although she has never made an announcement that she is actually running. No, so mm-hmm. Now yesterday, of course, she finally made the statement, came up with a statement saying that she's no longer running for president, and she cites the reason of her father having accepted the nomination for vice president.
What did she tell you prior to making that statement? Were you informed that she was about to make that statement?
Actually, I only found out about that statement when it came out. No, she never really consulted any of us before she came out with that statement. So, of course, after that statement, we talked about it. And she says that, I've always said before that we cannot have a Duterte tandem. Only one Duterte should run. And since the president has already accepted the nomination, that means that he will be running for vice president. Mm-hmm. That was what Mayor Sara told us. But of course, kami po sa Hugpong ng Pagbabago, we're still hoping that things could change by October. No? So we still have about 3 to 4 weeks before the filing period. And we're still hoping, no, that things will change again during the filing period.
Okay. That right there, Governor, is the gray area that is making people like you hopeful that she will change her mind. Because it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like she was forced to make that decision because her father has decided to run for the vice presidency. Was that what happened? That it wasn't really her decision to make, it was as if the decision was made for her, Governor?
Well, I think at the end of the day, she just wanted to be consistent with what she said. And as I mentioned earlier, Carmina, she said already several months ago, and she has been repeating this in interviews, that she is not favorable to Duterte tandem. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, that statement that she's not interested in a Duterte tandem, and then now with the president last September 8th accepting the nomination for vice president, then of course it follows that she's not running anymore because the father already accepted the nomination. But you know, we the officers of Hukbo Navabago still believe that there's still a chance that Mayor Sara might change her mind. Because, you know, while the president has accepted the nomination, we still don't know if he's actually going to file for vice president in October. So it's still a wait-and-see game as far as we're concerned.
So to you, there is still that possibility for her to run, because that's what people are saying, actually, Governor, that this is all a show, that eventually the president will back out. And when he does, is it a foregone conclusion that the mayor will throw her hat in the ring?
Well, it's really highly possible, no? Again, she made a statement that only one Duterte can run. So if the president files for vice president, then that's the end of Sara's plans for running for president, no? But if the president does not file in October, then, of course, that opens the door for a possibility of Mayor Sara running for president.
What will happen now to the alliances forged with HNP? What's going to happen to the throngs of supporters that have been flocking to the mayor's office there in Davao, also because they see it as a way to up their chances of winning in the 2022 elections, Governor?
As far as the allies are concerned, ma'am, nothing has changed, though. No? As a matter of fact, when the mayor came out with her statement yesterday morning, I was waiting on my phone, waiting to see who would call me from the six political parties to say that they're no longer interested to be allied with HNP because of the announcement of Mayor Sara. But the whole day I've been waiting until evening, nobody has called. No, so to me, that is also a sign that the allied parties are still very hopeful that things will change in October.
And when she was asked if she was going to help PDP Laban like she did in the past years, she said she will not share her light this time. Where do you think that's coming from?
That's simply because of the stress and the stress and the grueling campaign. No? You know, Mayor Sara did that in 2019 when we went around the country campaigning for our senatorial candidates. And it took a toll on her physically and mentally. And she already told me weeks ago that if she does not run for a national position, she does not want anymore to campaign because it's just too grueling. The schedules are just too hectic. And it's just too tiring, you know. And that's the reason why she has said that if she's not running, or if somebody else is running, then she's not going to campaign.
So it wasn't because of PDP Laban and the controversy that it finds itself in right now. And we all know what the mayor also thinks of the party as we speak, Governor.
I cannot say it's because of the party, no, because she never told me that. The explanation that she gave me was because she was very exhausted in 2019, no, and if she's not running in 2022, she doesn't want to go through that whole exercise again.
Governor, you know how the mayor is. You know her personally. You know how she thinks. You know, and when people started to react about the statement that she made yesterday, and when you talked to her post making that statement, how did she seem to you? Tell us about the other things that you talked about, and where is she at this point after making that statement?
Well, I think we just have to take the statement at face value. You know, she said that she's no longer interested to run, and she cites the reason for that deciding to run for president. Of course, the reason being that her father accepted the nomination. So, as far as I am concerned, no, after talking to Mayor Sara, after she came up with that statement, and after I spoke to her. There's really no doubt that she really was serious when she said she's not interested to run anymore, no, for president in 2022. But as I said, me personally, and of course together with my fellow officers in Hupuna, Bobabago, we still believe that there's still a possibility that she could change her mind depending on what her father does.
So tell us about the preparations that you've made so far and how it was affected by the statement that was given yesterday with an HNP. Go ahead.
Well, actually, we have not really been preparing for a national campaign. Right now, we're just concentrating on our respective provinces. We're trying to put up our line, our slates for under HNP in Davao region. And that's what's keeping us busy right now. No? So there's really no talk among ourselves with regards to plans for the national campaign, simply because we have not gotten any word from our chairperson, Mayor Sara, that she is indeed running. So, plus, I mean, you know, nothing has changed. We have not really been doing anything insofar as the national campaign is concerned. And her announcement yesterday to us was really... it was just an announcement, but again, nothing has changed because we never started preparing for the national campaign.
Did she give you any marching orders after that announcement, after the statement?
Well, after that statement, a lot of media outlets were asking for interviews, and of course, I asked her permission if I can expound on your statement, and she said, go ahead. So that's what we're doing right now.
And how fast of a reaction or a bounce back, if you will, is HNP capable of if the scenario that you were telling us a while ago about the president backing out of the race happens come October?
Well, again, we'll have to deal with it when we get there. No, so right now, as I said, HNP has been concentrating in Davao region. We've been concentrating in our respective provinces. But come October, during the filing period, if things change and Mayor Sara decides to run, then that is the only time we will start preparing. No, because it's really pointless for us to prepare for a national campaign, considering that. Mayor Sara already explicitly said yesterday that she's not running for president.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that because we've run out of time. Former governor of Davao del Norte, Anthony Del Rosario there, also the secretary general of Hukbong ng Pagbabago. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you. Ingat po.
Salamat. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.